Okay, in part four, the Haggadah.
How many parts is the Rebbe going to do this year?
I don't know. Okay, so we're going through the psukim here. It says, "V'rav k'mashen emar revava katzema chasade nesatich v'tirbi v'tigdele v'tavoi badi adaim shadaim nechonus us areich tzimeach," etc. So he says, brings a Gemara. We learn the interesting yesod. Mor says in Sota Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, says that the women, the Jewish women, they used to go out to the field in Mitzrayim to give birth. It says Tachat Satapuach. Right.
There was the apple tree.
Yeah. And when the Mitzrayim got word of this, so they went out there in order to kill them. So what happened? An ace occurred, and the women miraculously were swallowed up into the ground, and the Mitzrayim were not happy with that. So they came with their plows and their oxen and wanted to plow. The pasuk says in Tehillim, "Al gabi harshu chorshim herichu lemanisam." They were choresh. They were plowing. Herichu manisam, their plow, their blades of their plow. They made them long to really get down deep. They wanted to, you know, kill the women that were in the ground. And then, after the Mitzrayim left, then the women were sprouted again out of the ground, like Esav Hasadeh. It said, "Revava katzemech Hasadeh nesatich." So he says that. He says, a pellet. Here's the Mitzrayim, okay, they come out to the field, and they see, you know, these women, they said, ah, good, you know, we got them. And they watch as they're, you know, go down into the ground. Now, one of two things. Either they're buried alive, okay, in which case, why did they take their plows and want to plow them out, and they plow, nothing to plow, they're dead, they're in, they're under the ground. Elamai, they understood, or they saw, or realized that there must be a nace, because they figured they're still alive, and therefore, well, let's get the plows, because they're alive down there, and we're going to plow them. So it's also a pella. Why? Because if the fact that they took the plows, meaning that they thought they're still alive in there, obviously that was a nace. You don't get swallowed up by the ground and stay alive unless miraculously. So if a nace happens to these women, what are you bothering taking your plows and want to plow them up? You think you're going to be successful? I mean, everything's a miracle over here. And not only that, took the long, you know, the harichu lemanisam, they took their long blades, like, oh, because they might be deep, so we got to get down really deep. That's ridiculous. I mean, in anyways, it's all a miracle over here. What is it going to do if you have a longer blade in your plow? You think you're going to accomplish anything? It's a pella.
Did
so what's going on?
When they went to the longer blade?
No, they had with them. I don't know. Okay, anyways, so he says, the answer is, he brings a mashal, he says, imagine, you know, say, so if I was walking down to Rabbi Akiva Street in Bnei Brak, and all of a sudden I hear like this horse and buggy, you know, coming from behind, and it's one of those guys selling the altazachin, you know, all the old merchandise they put on their back of their the wagon to go with the horse, and then I'm standing there. He says, imagine the Rabbi Akiva Street, and then this horse comes up next to me and turns to me and says, "Hey, how you doing, Rabbi Yankov? What's up?" So he said, if that happened to me, what would I do? He said, I faint. Horse turns to me and starts saying, how you doing? I faint on the spot. He says, yeah, what do we see? With Bilam, right? Bilam's riding on his donkey, and his donkey, you know, crouches down, he gets upset, and he hits it. And he says, what do I do to you that you're hitting me? Now, any normal person would just faint right away, you know. And what does Bilam do? He says, well, yeah, well, he's halal to be. He starts getting into a conversation. So he says, what's pshat? She says,
but is it true that any normal person would really, like, faint if they would hear a donkey talking to them?
Probably. So the answer is that what he calls shetef haratzon, meaning that if a person has in mind to do something, he wants it really, really badly, and he has this, heart set on it. I got to do this. Then no matter what he sees, what occurs, nothing matters. Everything's like, it's, he doesn't even take, nothing, doesn't take anything to heart. He has this plan, he wants to do it, he can have all the miracles in front of his eyes, he's not going to see anything. Because he's got to do what he wants to do. Okay, Mela, that was a mitzrim. They wanted to get rid of these Jewish women. Nothing registered. We got to kill these women. Nothing. And so too with Bilam. And he says we see that with Pharaoh. Right? Pharaoh comes to Yamsuf. And he sees the Yam split. And according to one sheet, there were 250 miracles at the Yam. Okay? So he sees the split for Klal Yisrael. And all these miracles, 250 miracles going on for the Jewish people. That's after the Aser Makos, of course, the Mitzrayim, right? And he goes runs into the Yam. It was obviously a death trap. You know, what is he doing? What answer? That's exactly what it was. And they were killed. How could he do that? He says, same thing, right? All the miracles, all the things. I gotta get those Jews. I don't care, right? So anything we might see, nothing make no significance. I gotta do what I gotta do. And the person it goes doesn't take anything else into account. Okay, it says at the end of that Keta, brings the pasuk Yechezkel v'avor alayich v'erech bitmasses b'damayich v'omer lach b'damayich chayi v'omer lach b'damayich chayi. So he says we find lechor a contradiction. When Moshe Rabbeinu asked in what schus will Klal Yisrael be saved, so Hashem told them in the schus of the Torah that they're going to receive. So it says in the pasuk, "Botziyacha esam b'mitzrayim tabdun es alukim ala harazeh." Right, and then they go out. Parshas Shmos. They go out. That's they're going. They're going to go out and receive the Torah. And that's because they're going to come out. Very good. Yeah, we see over here Chazal tell us not that way. Based on the pasuk we mentioned, "V'omar lach b'demai chayi," it says it twice. The mai chayi, your blood is the blood of the Pesach and Mila. And it was in the schus of the Dam Pesach that they offered the Korban Pesach and they mauled themselves, the Mila. And that was schus of those two things. Those two bloods, they were redeemed. So he says, so what is it? Was it the schus of the Torah that they're going to get? Or was it because of the blood of the Mila and Pesach? So he answered with a little story that with himself. He says, I was once riding on a bus. And I saw next to the bus driver a sticker on the bus, and it said, "Driver, check your brakes before you go out on the derech." And it was signed by the committee to prevent traffic accidents, whatever. Okay, so he asked the driver. He said, "Excuse me." He says, "What does it say on the sticker?" He says, "What do you mean it says? Like, can't you read? You know." So it says, no, it said, "Bedoket ablamim lifnei tzitchal aderech." It says, "Well, I don't know what's blamim." She says, "Blamim," he says, "those are brakes." So, meaning, he says, you know, the brakes are important. Your bus brakes aren't working, and every now and then they get worn out, worn down, or whatever. And if you don't have good brakes, you can't stop, can get into terrible accidents. You can run into other cars, into chas v'shalom people, whatever. So you have to make sure your brakes are good. That's why we have to stick it to remind us to check our brakes. Because if you don't brake, it can be very, very hazardous. So Rav Yaakov says to the guy, now I understand. He says, you know, do they make these stickers for people also? He says, what are you talking about? He says, listen, you know, a person comes into this world and he goes on a long journey from childhood to old age, and it's a long journey. And it's important that a person has good brakes, meaning that a person has all kinds of desires and things that he wants to go after. And if he doesn't control himself, he doesn't put on the brakes, he can get into all kinds of accidents. Very dangerous. He can hurt people's feelings and hurt Hashem's feelings, do all kinds of terrible things, right? If a person doesn't put on the brakes. So that's a sticker that people need as well. Before you go out, you have to check your brakes, make sure you know how to control yourself. And therefore, he says that's the perhaps the yeshuv of the two the steer over here. That in a chanami, that we were redeemed for the Torah that we were going to receive at Har Sinai. But before you get the Torah, you have to make sure you can be able to mekayim it. So how does that? Before you go out on the derech, to get the Torah, so you got to check your brakes. So Hashem had to check Klal Yisrael's brakes, see that they can control themselves. And therefore, he gave them the mitzvahs of Mila and Pesach. How so? Mila, natural tendency is to, be scared. Well, I don't know, wound myself and this or whatever. So they have to be able to, control themselves and say, no, I got to do this. Hashem wants me to do this. And I have to control my fear. Put on the brakes, control my fear. And also with the Korban Pesach, the same thing. Taking the sand, which was the god of the Egyptians, and they were going to come and kill us or whatever. So they had to put aside their fear again, because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. They have to be able to control themselves, control their fear. So after they did that, Hashem says, good, I see you know how to put on the brakes, control yourself, now you can get the Torah. And the Pasuk says,
and to be in control of your fear from Rav, what is the fear like by Kabbalah Satayra?
No, there's no fear of Kabbalah Satayra. Fear is Mila and Pesach. Fear of having Mila done to you, and the fear of taking the Sef and the Mitzrim might, we're going to want to kill them. Okay, the Pasuk says, V'yareyu osanu ha-Mitzrim v'yanunu. So a lot of the Mefarshim go on this, that the language is funny. You don't say in Hebrew, Vayareyu, you say Vayareyu lanu hamitzrim. Vayareyu otanu means they made us bad. Vayareyu otanu, they Russian ra, Vayareyu otanu, they made us bad. It should have been, they did bad to us, not made us bad. But they say that, the Egyptians made us bad, and meaning that as it says, we went to the 49th level of Tuma, etc. We fell in Mitzrayim. They made us bad. Why? How could that be? Because as it says, the pasuk says, Shem warnas k'maasei eretz Mitzrayim asher yishavtem alol sasu. You're not supposed to do the actions of the Mitzrayim. And Rashi says, Magid shemaseim shemitzrim mekulkalim mikol haumos, that the Egyptians were the worst people of all the nations of the world. They were the worst. Ve'olso macham sheyashvu bo Yisrael mekulkal minakol, and then where the Yisrael was, where we're living, was the worst place in the world. And therefore, it's no wonder why they were affected negatively. As the Rambam says, famous Rambam Hilchas Deis, that derech briyaso shel adam liyos nimshach achareyav v'chaverav v'noheg k'minhag. And Jamie, that a person naturally gets pulled after his surroundings, his environment. So they were in such a bad place. So that's why they made us bad, because of their hashpa, their influence. So he says a nice avor. It says that the Kohen, Mashiach Muhammad, the Kohen, when the four Klal Yisrael would go out to war, he would go out and announce and say, whoever is Yarev or Rachalevav, whoever is soft-hearted, should go back home and not go out to war. So the Chazal tells us, what does that mean? So it means that he's scared, not scared so much of the enemy, but he'd be scared of the averas that he has in his hand. And if he's scared of his averas, that, maybe because of my averas, I'm going to die. And Chazal say, what averas are we talking about? Not the guy's a murderer or this. Chazal tell us the avera that he's worried about is that maybe he spoke between putting on his tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh. You're not allowed to talk, do any hefsek after you put on your tefillin shel yad, before you put on your tefillin shel rosh. So maybe he spoke between once, and he's worried, I once spoke between Hashem and Yad, that's it. And he's worried and nervous, and then he said, okay, that person goes back. So he said, when you think about it, I mean, such a person's a tzaddik gamur. I mean, that's it. What avera can you think about, right? The worst avera, I don't know, I didn't do anything. Once I spoke between when I put on my, between my tail. This guy's a tzaddik gamur, right? And this guy, has to go back. Well, fine. So he says, but what's the tzmiyah? that the Torah gives a mitzvah for these people that are going out to war of Eishes Yifas Torah. Okay, taking this woman from the captivity. Okay, he said, what's going on? Who are we talking about here? We're talking about these tzaddik and gemurim. They're going out to war. He's going to want to take an Eishes Yifas Torah. Obviously, Torah wouldn't write it if it's not nogeh. It's not. But obviously, it's shy. He says, well, what's going on? How could that be? He says, the answer is that Chazal tell us, if the Yetzer Hara gets you, then Mashcheu Lebeis HaMedrash. Then you should drag him into the Beis Medrash. Why? In the Beis Medrash, you're in your confines of Beis Medrash, you're protected from the Yetzer Hara. As soon as you leave the Beis Medrash, though, that's it. You're in danger. And therefore, the guy can be a big tzaddik, fine, but now he's out to war. He's out there. He's not anymore in the Beis Medrash. He's the biggest tzaddik is in danger. Therefore, he has to worry. Okay, and as we see, that's the influence of the surroundings. Okay. Agada brings the pasuk, Vayirei Osanim Mitzrim, Mash Ne'mar, as it says in the pasuk, Hava Nischach Malo, as Paro said, hey, we have to, you know, think of what to do over here, Pen Yirbe, maybe the Jews are going to become great, Vayak Yisikrena Milchama, if there's a war, Vanasafkam, who else? And they're going to join our enemies and fight with us, etc., etc. So he asks, why did the Haggadah bring down this pasuk for? You know, this is the plan. It tells us what Paro was worried about. And who cares what he was worried about? Paro wanted to destroy us, and then Hashem came and saved us, took us out of Egypt. That's the ikar over here. What do I care? What was the reason why, you know, that Paro wanted to do bad to us? It's necessary to tell us. He says there's a big lesson over here. And that is as follows. That Paro and his nation, right, they were really, they owed a lot to Klal Yisrael. I mean, when Yosef came down to Mitzrayim and came the viceroy, whatever, he saved the whole country from famine, right, from dying of famine, right, by putting aside all the produce, etc. And then by selling it, they became the richest country in the entire world, right? All because of Yosef. So they owed a lot to the Jewish people. And yet what? So what happened over here? Paro says, they might, you know, join in with the enemies and this and what's going to be. You know, what are you worried about? What are you worried about? Come on, you know. So, see from here that how the wrong way to go, right? You have to do what's right. Do what's right. Don't worry about what's going to be in the future and say, what's going to be though? You have to do what's right. That's not what Faro did. You know, he should have said, look, what's right? We have to hakar satov to the Jewish people. Look at all he did for us. That's right. What might be in the future. No, you're not going to, because of what might be, you don't go doing something wrong now. You don't do something wrong now because of what might be in the future. That's what Paro did, and that's our lesson to us. You're not supposed to do such a thing. You see, this is a beautiful hara. So we see this kind of comparison between Eishes Potiphar and Tamar. Right? That Chazal tell us that they are both L'Shem Shamayim Niskavna. They both did what they did L'Shem Shamayim. How so? That Tamar, you know, dressed up as a zona, whatever, in order to live with Yehuda, but it was l'shem shemayim because she saw that out of this union was going to come the Mashiach, which it did. Okay, that was, she saw this. So therefore, she did it l'shem shemayim, and also Tamar, she also heard from the stargazers or whatever the tzagnine that in the future she's going to end up marrying. She's going to have sons from Yosef. But she thought it was, she made a mistake, thought it was going to be from her. It ended up being from her daughter, as we spoke about the other day. Okay, it wasn't from her herself. Okay, but it was L'Shem Shemayim. She thought that, you know, she wanted Yosef because she thought, hey, I'm going to have children from him. But she had, like, grandchildren. Okay. So they're both L'Shem Shemayim. Yet we look at Tamar as this great tzaddikus, and we look at Eishes Potiphar as this Sarishita. What's the difference? Why? So the difference isn't exactly this point we mentioned. And that is, when they took Tamar out to be burnt, okay, she could have made the following kashuba. She could have said, look, I'm going to get burnt, but it's promised in the future the Mashiach is going to come out for me, so I got to do what I got to do to stay alive. What would that mean to say that these simanim, what are from Yehuda? That he gave her these things, whatever, and embarrassed him publicly, whatever, and but I got to do what I got to do. What's going to be about the future, the Mashiach? I got to do it. It's not right now, okay, but look about the future. So she didn't do that. She says, the Mashiach, okay, that's the future. What's going to be? I don't know. I can do what's right now. And it says it's better the person should throw himself in the Kiv Shana Eish, not to embarrass another person in public, whatever. So I got to make sure I don't embarrass Yehuda. What's going to be in the future? I don't know. That's not my business. I can do what's right now. It was right now, and that's what she did, and that's why she's a tzedekis. Whereas the Eshet Potifar was the opposite, right? She said, "What? Oh, the future. I'm gonna have sons from Yosef. Whatever. Okay, I gotta do whatever I can do now. Make this guy in life miserable and entice him and this and that. I'm gonna threaten to throw him in the jail. And she did whatever. Do all these bad, right? Because I'm gonna have children from him, right? So she took the future and did what's wrong now because of what might be in the future." That's like, and we saw by Paro, that's the wrong way to do things. So another beautiful chap says that, Chazal tells Gemara in Shabbos, says that when Shlomo married, he married Bas Paro, right? Says when Shlomo Melech married Bas Paro, then Gavriel, the angel Gavriel came down, and he put like a reed, he stuck it in the sea, and it created around it like an island, and that ended up being the Krach Gadol Shabaromi, which is in the future, Rome was going to destroy the Beis Hamikdash. So he said, why in fact did Shlomo marry Bas Paro? Why do I do that? So again, I got to think about the future, right? What's the future? I want to make sure I build the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning, why didn't Shlomo's father, David, build the Beis HaMikdash? He said, because he, even though he was a big tzaddik and everything, but since he went to war a lot, and there was like blood on his hands, so to speak, so as a result, Hashem didn't want him to build the Beis HaMikdash. So Shlomo made the cheshbon, and he goes, my father, went to war, and that, because he couldn't build a Beis HaMikdash, so I want to build a Beis HaMikdash, so I got to avoid this. So what am I going to do? I'm going to marry Bas Paro. Marrying Bas Paro, what does that do? Then that shows the other nations, look, I'm nice, shalom, peace, I'm marrying, the other people, whatever, to create shalom, so I won't have to go to war with them. I won't go to war with them, so then I'll be able to build a Beis HaMikdash. So what happened at that time? Exactly at that time, this reed came down from Shemayim and from Gabriel, and Rome was built from there. And Rome would destroy the Beis HaMikdash. So he set the foundation for destroying the Mikdash. Why? Because again, that was not the right approach. The approach isn't to do not what's so great now, because for the future. No, he's supposed to do the opposite. He says, I don't know what's going to be. I'm not going to build a Beis HaMikdash. I got to do what's right now. What's right now? Not to marry. Bas Paro is not the best thing in the world to do. That's what he should have said. Instead of making these cheshbonos about the Yatid and doing what's not so right now. And as a result, because he did that, in fact, he's laid the foundation for the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Says a Maisa also ties in with this. Says in Brisk, they had there were these elections that came out for, it's called the Vad HaKehila. Right? It was a committee that was in charge of the Jewish community to take care of all the Jewish aspects of the community, whether it be chinuch or kashrus or whatever it might be. So there were two parties running. There was a Briskerov and his people, which are all Yerei Shemayim and etc. whatever. And of course, they felt it's come understandably necessary that they should get in, so there should be proper, Yiddishkeit and kashrus and everything in the city. And whereas the other side were like the Chilonim or whatever, they were not so interested in the Torah, etc. And they wanted to go in. So the elections were called for a Sunday. And what they wanted to do is they decided to do to go to the printers to print up like these posters or whatever and write all about to schmutz the other side and say if you vote for them what's going to be and this and that and all bad things about them. So both sides printed out their you know, posted, because of course he once wanted to, you know, get the other one. And their idea was to post it on the shul just before Shabbos, for Shabbos. And when people come into shul, you know, that's where people gather on, you know, at the shul on Shabbos, they're able to read the things. So, fine. So the, they both sides did, or, you know, got ready to do this. And so Friday, these Talmidim, whatever, of the Brisker Rav, brought him these the posters that they got from the printing shop, and they said, okay, these are the posters, so we're going to go put these up, we're going to get your okay, you know, everything's fine, to put them up, to combat the other side's posters. So the Brisker Rav takes them, he puts them in his room, and he says, no, I don't want them to go up. He says, why not? So he said, well, because the Shabbos is coming in early, and the people that are going to, you know, go around and put up these things, these posters, you know, the poster hangers, right? I'm worried that since it's Shabbos is coming in early, it might lead to accidentally Chilul Shabbos. You know, they might be putting them up the last minute, and it might end up being Chashash of Chilul Shabbos, so I don't want these posters put up. So Talmidim says, yeah, but Rebbe... But what's going to be? The other side, you know, they don't care. They're going to put up their posters, and then there's only going to be their posters with everything about them and how we're bad and everything, and people are only going to read that. What's going to be with us, and what's going to happen? We have to put them up. So the Brisker said, he says, no, he says, we're not going to lose. He says, we're going to lose out if we put them up, not if we don't put them up. That was his comment. So he knows we have to do what we're supposed to do now, like we said in our sport, right? What's right now we got to do. Why? What's going to be? Can't worry about what's going to be. We got to do what's right now. So he didn't put them up. What happened in the end? The exact opposite happened. Why? They're true, and the other side put their posters. They didn't. So it had the opposite effect. Why? Because people saw only the other side's posters for schmutzing the Haredim and everything, and they saw it. So they both would have been put up. They're for schmutzing them, right? So then people said, oh, there is a battle between the two, and they would pick who. But now they only saw the Chilonim saying bad things about the thing. So they said, oh, you know, you see these poor Haredim, they're getting attacked for no reason, and that, you know, they're fine, they don't do anything, and there's some being attacked, you know? So people saw this as an attack on them, and they went for the underdog, and they ended up voting for the Haredim, and they won. So we saw that in the end, we have to do what's right now, and then Hashem Baruch Hu takes care. Okay. It says that V'anunu K'mash Ne'amar V'yasimu Alav Sarei Misim V'chulei V'yitnu V'yitnu Aleinu Avodah Kasha K'mash Ne'amar V'yavidu Mitzrayim Bnei Yisrael B'par. So they put us we had to serve them B'parach. So Chazal Darshana, what is Parach? Parach seems simple, means like hard, harsh labor. But Chazal darshan it as in, to break it up into two words, para, a soft mouth. In other words, paro, soft mouthed them at the beginning into working, which will turn later on to be real, just the photos para. Right? How so? It says that he gathered together Israel, Ben Israel, and he said to them, does anybody like to volunteer? Some building project to do, and he himself took his rake or whatever, his sal, his basket or thing, and Par himself. He says, "Who wants to join me for some, volunteers?" And he saw, well, Par himself's doing it, so why not? And so they went along with them, and they started getting some dirt and stuff and making bricks and. Made a whole bunch of bricks that day because the Bnei Israel were very strong and good workers. They made a lot of bricks, and that was the beginning. And after that, it was okay. Now every day you have to make these amount of bricks. It turned into he forced. Okay, so he asks that Paro was like not such a nice guy. You know, he was like a wicked, a cruel person. They used to shech the Jewish children and bathe in their blood, and it was like he was a cruel person. So why all of a sudden he's like a nice guy, you know, hey, why don't you just come with me and start, a thing? Why don't you just, okay, that's it, everybody to work, boom, you know, well, what is this soft mouthing to begin with? So he explained the following thing. He says he once was traveling on a train, and he was sitting opposite this bachur, who was a chiloni, non-religious boy. And he started talking to him, and he said, you know, he said to the boy, he says, you know, you guys, you don't hold by anything. You know, everything is open, and no, you don't control yourself. You do whatever you want. He says, tell me, is there anything that you do to try to, you know, combat the Yetzer Hara, that you have to fight the Yetzer Hara with? Is there anything you have to fight the Yetzer Hara with? So the guy said, yeah. He says, what? He says, we're going to fast on Yom Kippur. That I still have a battle. I don't, he doesn't do anything else. Not Shabbos, not Kashrus. But to fast on Yom Kippur, he says, I have a battle with Yetzer Hara. Yes, no. So he said to the... He said, let me tell you something. He told him the Gemara. Gemara in Gittin, Daf Mem Zayin, and Aleph, tells the Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish was suffering from hunger. It was starvation. He didn't have anything to eat. He was starving. So he needed some money to get some food or whatever. So what did he do? He had no choice. So he sold himself to a bunch of cannibals. People, cannibals. So they pay a lot of money for people. So he sold himself. And he got this money. And okay, so now, but now they have to, you know, eat him. So first they fatten him up, whatever. Got something to eat. And after that, you know, they said, okay, you know, we're about to boil him up and eat him. So he says, excuse me, but what about my last will? Like, you know, before a guy gets, you kill him, you have to give him a last will that he wants to request, last request before he dies. So he said, 100%, you know, what would you like? So he says, well, he had a bag, and inside the bag was a metal ball, made of iron, whatever, lead. And he says, holding this bag, and he says, I just want to hit everybody over the head with this bag, you know, 1.5 times. So I said, oh, okay, go ahead. So yeah, there was this metal ball, and there's, you know, boom, and he was a strong guy, boom, 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 he killed them all, and he left and with the money, and he was good. So he says, obviously the Gemara here is not just telling us a funny story. There's obviously something deeper here. What's the lesson? So he says, because one could ask, he said, how could Reish Lakish, you know, take a chance like this? And how did he know that they were going to give him his last will, you know, last desire? And even after he says it, he says, I want to hit you over the head. How do they know they're going to say, okay? And if they wouldn't have given him his last desire, that would have been it for him. So how could he take that chance and go there and then sell himself to them, knowing that who knows if they're going to give him a last will, and if so, let do what he asks. So he says, Yisod, says that the human beings are not animals, okay? Sometimes a human being can be very bad, but bottom line, he's not an animal. What's the difference? An animal has no conscience. Animal says what he does, doesn't care, no conscience, animal. Human beings have conscience, some more, some less, but there is a little bit of, you know, guilt feelings, conscience, you know, by human beings, right? So Mele, he says, when killers give the person the last will, right, last request, right, it's not because they're so nice and nice guys, it's for themselves, to calm their conscience a little bit. Okay, let them have one thing, you know, to feel, calm them down a little bit at their, you know, before they kill the person. You know, for themselves. It's not for them, not for the guy being killed, it's for them, for the killers, for their own conscience. That's why they give this last one. Mimele, he said, that's Reish Lakish knew this. He says, it's not a risk. I know they're going to give me a last will, because not for me, because they're nice guys, they're a bunch of cannibals. But for themselves, they're still human beings, they still are going to have a conscience, they're still going to want to let me at least have my last request. And therefore, that's what they did, and because of that, he was able to beat them up. So he says the same thing. He told this boy, and he said the same thing. You know, a yid has a, you know, pintle yid has a neshama, and you have a guilty conscience. So at least by something, like, okay, can nothing, not going to do, okay, at least fast on Yom Kippur. So at least not something, you know, was to calm your conscience. Like, well, at least I fast on Yom Kippur, I'm not so bad, you know. At least to calm your conscience, you got to do something. So that's the way you are. And so too, that was with Pharaoh, right? Pharaoh also bad, cruel, whoever he is, but he's a human being, but not for, again, not for for Klaus, but for himself, to calm his conscience down. So, okay, he said, look, I offered them first, you know, I didn't say they had to, I said, whoever wants to volunteer. And Shevet Levi, in fact, didn't volunteer. And they weren't, you know, persecuted in Mitzrayim. So he says, so Pharaoh can calm his conscience a little bit. Look, I offered them who wants to volunteer, and whoever didn't have to, and they did, and okay, so, you know, to calm himself down, that's why he did it. It's not for us. Okay, a couple of things on the lighter side. Is it the Pasuk? So it says, "Kol haben hayilod hayora tashlichu v'chol habas techayu." As the Haggadah brings out, that they said, that Paro said that every boy that is born has to be thrown into the river, and the v'chol habas techayu. So a lot of Mefarshim ask, "What's this v'chol habas techayu? What is that?" Like, I can see, okay, he's wicked Paro. Okay, all the boys are born, drown them. And the girls keep alive. What do you have to tell? What is that? Well, girls keep alive. That's what kind of a persecution is that? Keeping alive the girls. You know what? What do you have to say? Keep the girls alive. I can say, you know, kill the boys. But what do you have to say? Keep the girls alive. So he says, jokingly, of course, that he says that the Jewish people were, they gave birth like at six. Shisha bekeres echad, six kids at one every birth. She said, let's say, how many times a good birth? Let's say 10 times. So that would be like 60 kids. And assuming that basically average, you have half boys and half girls, so you have 30 boys and 30 girls. Okay, so Carlos goes there, you know, kill the boys. You know, 60 boys, kill them, fine. So he says, what about the girls? So he says, keep them alive. Keep them alive. He says, yeah. He says, trying to marry off 30 girls. He says that's a vote in itself, and that's hard to handle. Koshi Shibud, a marrying off 30 girls. He says also cute. Says that Yisro was given has seven names. Chazal tell us, right? Rashi brings it down. There he had seven names. So he asks, why did Yisro need seven names for? He says very simple. He had seven daughters. So he had to marry off seven daughters. So he mentioned, so he goes into debt for the first daughter. He has to change his name because all the debtors keep on running after him, right? So he has to change his name. And next time, he has seven daughters. He has to change his name seven times to run away from all the people that are after him for all the money. He has to marry off all these daughters. So he has seven.
You have seven daughters?
Yeah. Another, again, something on the lighter side, says that once an Avreich got up in the morning, and he was all excited, whatever. His wife says to him, what happened? He said, well, I had a dream last night that I was speaking with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So his wife said, don't get so excited. He says, why? He says, because I'll say that you dream of something that was on your mind during the day. That's what your dream, you know, dream at night. What you're thinking about during the day. So he said, no, that's not the case. He says, what? What are you talking about? I don't think about Hashem. When I get up in the morning, I have to run to shul, and I daven, and I come home, and I eat breakfast, and I go out to kol, and I learn, and I come home. I don't think about Hashem. No, what are you talking about? I can't be because I was thinking about Hashem. I never think about Hashem. Okay. It says, Vesamate azeti kach piyadecha. A nice word from Rav Meir Shapira in Lublin. Says that at a mateh, mateh is the staff stick, but it also represents children. Why? We see that called shvatim, the 12 shvatim. What's a shevet? Shevet is a stick, really. So the shvatim, a shevet is a stick. So we see that a stick represents children. Why? Because you have like the main geza, like the trunk of the tree, and then you have the sticks, like the branches that come out. So children are called like sticks from the parents. He says, Derek Drush, very nice, says that Hashem told Moshe, "Samate hazeh tikach biyadecha." Said, if you want to have good children, you have to take the stick in your hand. You have to make sure you control your children and to do what's right. And then you can have good children. Asher taseh be'os asos. Then you'll see osos. Then you'll see great things to come out of your children. If you take the mate biyadecha, then asher taseh be'os asos. He says, however, what? Then Moshe, after that, Moshe Rabbeinu, let go of the stick and it fell on the ground. What happened? It became a snake. So say that if you don't hold on tight, you don't do what's right, then what happens? Then the kid, falls through your fingers, ends up on the ground, ends up a snake. It's a dangerous thing. So he said, that's the Amir Shapiro. He says, I want to add my own taich to that. He says that the psukim continue that Hashem says to Moshe, "Shlach yadcha ve'chos biznavo." He said, go and grab the tail, and it turns back into a snake. A snake stick, excuse me. So too, he says that if the kid is like bad, but there's a takana. You grab his tail, so the kliyakar sale, the tail is a remez to gashmi, that's what it means. You have to show a lot of love. Show a lot of love to the child, and v'yechesek bo, and hug him with warmth, whatever, and then it goes back to a shevet, it goes back to the stick, as it was to be. Okay. Okay. One last thing. Starts with the Eser Makos. So the second one, the Tzvardeya. The Tzvardeya, as we know, went into everywhere, right? It went into the houses, their beds, everywhere. But they even had to go into the ovens. But not all the frogs were not so excited about going into the ovens, but okay, no choice. And he got into the ovens also. So there were those that were most in effort that went into the oven. He says a great word. He said, what happened in the end? It says, V'yamutu ha-tzfardim min ha-batim u-min ha-chatzerot u-min ha-sadot. The pasuk says that the frogs died from the ones were in the houses and their courtyards and their fields. They died. But doesn't mention the ovens. Doesn't mention that the ones are in the oven. So there's, sure enough, the Midrash says, Yalkut Shimoni, Avalo mina tanurim lefishem masru nafsham lamus al mitzvah sakadosh baruch hu chazru layor chayim. What happened? Bigdafka, the ones that jumped into the oven, they didn't die. They went back into the river where they came from alive. Why? Kosh Baruch Hu gave them that. Since you are Moser Nefesh for me, Hashem says, you're not gonna die, you're gonna go back alive. So here we have it. He says again what we mentioned before earlier on today, that how not to make cheshbonos. At the time, what were you thinking? He says, "Oh, I'm going to go into the listen to Hashem and go into the oven. What's going to be with me? That's the end. I'm going to kill myself. And then it's not fair. Look at these other ones in the warm beds. They're going into the houses. Not fair. I want to know what happened in the end. Dafka, the ones that were in the warm places, and they died. And then the frog that went into the ovens, they were the ones that lived because they were mostly Nefesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu." See, from here, you're mostly nervous for Hashem, and everything will work out.